Harinam Sankirtan Yavyaki Jayo Ananta Prati Vaishnava Rindakyana Jayo. What I've tried to do is a little bit presumptuous in the sense that I've tried to show a link between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. And obviously, there is no difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And therefore, that alone should suffice. So to go further and establish a link is in a way presumptuous, a little artificial, because this PowerPoint that I've made, which is not exhaustive, may show a few different links that exist between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Bhagavatam. But obviously, there is no separation between the two, so that should be understood from the very onset. And whatever I'm presenting is therefore the tip of the iceberg. And I think when we come to the last slide, we'll open it up for you to add some additional points that might come to your mind, so that it's not like this PowerPoint has no end, because after all, the connections between Mahaprabhu and the Bhagavatam have no end. Just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that when he gave these different meanings to the Atmaram verse, and how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so impressed that he had given 61 meanings to the Atmaram verse in various ways, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that actually the Bhagavatam has unlimited meanings, and that each verse has unlimited meanings. And in this way, unlimited aspects of Krishna are described there, unlimited connections also between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Bhagavatam. Still, for the sake of discussion, we have to limit ourselves, and that's the sometimes difficult thing when we discuss the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Chaitanya was discussing, after he came back from Gaya, he began to discuss Sanskrit grammar and basically faced the same problem, that he couldn't limit himself any longer to explaining Sanskrit roots, and therefore everything came to Krishna. Right? And every word, he traced it back to Krishna. And in that way, he kind of had the same problem that we're facing now. Everything is Krishna and everything is Bhagavatam, right? Because Bhagavatam means the story of Bhagavan, the story of Krishna. So, therefore, there's the famous lecture of Srila Prabhupada, where at the end, some lady is asking a question, and she's asking, what about Joan of Arc, right? Also known as Jeanne d'Arc in France or in Europe. Joan of Arc, is she also in the Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada says, And then he thinks for a short moment and says, yes, she's also in the Bhagavatam, because the life of the devotees is also Bhagavatam. So it is also Bhagavatam. So the life of the Lord is Bhagavatam, the life of the devotees is Bhagavatam. In this way, we can understand the connection between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. Through Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. There were many who had read Srimad Bhagavatam before Srimad Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world. However, the real purport and the actual object of the Srimad Bhagavatam is only comprehensible to those who've read it after reading the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, one of the chief followers in the line of Sri Rupa Goswami. These persons have read the Srimad Bhagavatam inside of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Sri Chaitanya's teachings, page 238 to 241. So it's interesting how he goes to the Chaitanya Charitamrita first, although we have kind of learned that the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study, which one cannot fully comprehend without knowledge of Bhagavatam, because the matter of Bhagavatam is being discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is assumed that it is known, and therefore, if one is not familiar, one will miss out. But here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has a different approach, that even although externally one may understand, internally one cannot understand it without the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So that is approaching the Bhagavatam through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, through the Goswamis, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami counts as the as a principal representative of the Goswami school, of the school of the six Goswamis. Therefore, he stayed a long time in Vrindavan and was a prominent member of that community of the followers of the Goswamis. Therefore, he counts like one of them. A little more from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He directed beginners to first go through the relatively uncomplicated Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, then the more philosophically intricate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and only thereafter Srimad Bhagavatam. If all the books in the universe were burned to ashes, there would be no loss if only one scripture remained, Srimad Bhagavatam. If millions of centers of education disappear, there is no loss if teaching and learning the Bhagavatam continues. Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, page 163. If somehow all the books in the world were destroyed, leaving only Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the people of this world could still achieve the ultimate goal of life, even if Srimad Bhagavatam were lost. Leaving only Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would be no loss to humanity, for whatever has not been revealed in the Bhagavatam is found in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The absolute truth is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is his sound incarnation, within which is found the divine mystery of Radharani's divine status and glories. Therefore, can there be any doubt concerning the supreme status of this transcendental literature? Again, Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava. Going to the Bhagavatam is described to have 10 topics. Atra sarvo visargascha stanam posanam uttaya manvantarisana katha niruda muktir asraya. Sri Sukhuvacha, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Atra, in this Srimad Bhagavatam, sarga, statement of the creation of the universe, visarga, statement of sub-creation, cha, also, stanam, the planetary systems, personam, protection, utya, the creative impetus, manvantara, changes of manus, isana anukata, the signs of God, Nirodha, going back home, back to Godhead, Mukti, liberation, Asraya, the Samambona. Translation. See, Sukadeva Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creations, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of manus, the science of God, returning home, back to Godhead, liberation, and the Samambhum. So, I put the heading, Asraya is one. All the other 9 topics are Asrita, or shelter in need of shelter. And Asraya is shelter giving. So, Eko Bhavanam Yuvidadati Kamam, it is on one that all others depend. And that is the point, that everything else, all these other topics, depend on Krishna, have their relation with Krishna. So the essence of all description in Bhagavatam is Krishna. All other topics are related with Krishna. But Krishna is not alone. Krishna is always performing pastimes along with his devotees, and therefore of those pastimes, dearmost, topmost to him are the pastimes with Radharani, Radha and Krishna. Then is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Mahe Anya. Little typo there in Chaitanya. From Chaitanya Bhagavat, establishing that Lord Chaitanya is none other than Radha and Krishna. So in that way, we can understand that the Bhagavatam is giving us descriptions of the various avatars of the Lord. It's giving us descriptions of the various energies of the Lord. But the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to describe Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna, and to show how Krishna expands himself, but how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Eti chamsa kalapumsa Krishna stubhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam yudhyanti yuge yuge. The Paribhasa Sutra, or the one verse that lights up the entire Bhagavatam, is establishing that Krishna is swayam Bhagavan, and all the other incarnations are either is plenary portions or parts thereof. And in that way, Krishna is the origin, and that we appreciate. Talking about these incarnations of the Lord, we have the verse, Panchatattvamakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. This verse is first found in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika from Kavikarnapur. That is the earliest publication where we find this verse. And he identifies the verse as coming from the lost diary, now lost, of Sarup Damodar Goswami, which is interesting because that gives it a lot of authority, because Sarup Damodar Goswami was the authority amongst the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was the secretary of Mahaprabhu, and he was the ultimate Shastric authority amongst the associates. So therefore, whatever comes from Sarup Damodar Goswami carries a lot of authority. So then, the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika states that formerly Krishna appeared with the same 5 tattvas as now Lord Chaitanya has appeared. So that's also logical, right? But also interesting, and may not always be on our minds. But these 5 tattvas if we look at the verse Pancha Tattva Makam, then we get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Swayam Bhagavan, the original Krishna, and then Swarupakam, referring to Lord Nityananda, his own form. So Balaram is the direct expansion of Krishna, his own form. Then we get the Bhakta Avatar, Advaita Acharya. We get so many avatars listed in the Bhagavatam, but we're all in that avatar category. Lila avatars, Guna avatars, and so on, Purusha avatars, right? You name it, avatars. Many avatars, and there are intricate charts of that, which I will not show you today. The point is that we can place the avatars of Krishna in the same five categories. We could make five columns and put all the Krishna and all his expansions in these columns and put the five tattvas above. So there's, in that sense, we can see that a very strong connection between the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhagavatam, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita extensively describes the Panchatattva. The whole first seven chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita are dedicated to describing the Panchatattva. And not the whole, because the seventh chapter also begins with impersonalism, but that even that is sort of replaced there to make sure we don't misunderstand the Panchatattva for Panchukhasa, for the five types of worship of the same, different forms of the same impersonal absolute, as the Mayavadi will see it. And therefore, there's a whole section of meeting the Mayavadis in Kasi, because it's out of chronology. In the seventh chapter, there is, so far all we had was tattva. Only in the 13th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita are we beginning to hear about the advent of Lord Chaitanya. So already before anything, we get an explanation of meeting the Mayavadis in Kasi for the sake of, and that's immediately after the description of the Panchatattva, so that we don't misunderstand philosophically what the Panchatattva is about. Anyway, it is clear that Bhagavatam is giving us these descriptions. If we're looking at the 10 subject matters, we have said Manvantara, Ishanu Katha. Then we have just discussed some of the incarnations, some of the partial incarnations, some of the plenary portions of the word are being described there. So in this way we can see how there are clear and many links between the pastimes of Mahaprabhu described in CC and pastimes of Krishna. If anyone wants to sort of discuss while we're going, I think that's a good idea. Otherwise, it gets a long, turns into a long monologue. So that's not needed. Especially because I feel I'm here, I'm chalking out something, you know. And it's also based on some notes that I made over the years. But it's a limited presentation, and there's much more one could do. For example, I have a list of all the verses that are from Bhagavatam that are quoted in the CC, and then what topics they are, and one can group them according to themes, and you can go like all statistical on them if you want to. That's one way of approaching the topic. There are many things that could be done that I didn't do for this particular presentation, because it would be too detailed, take too long. and so on. Okay, so some of you start flexing muscles and feel soon, yeah.
Beginning slides, you were saying that Hare Krishna and Mahaprabhu, but many people don't accept that. Or they didn't even accept that.
Many people don't accept Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I'll just should correct that one sec. Oh God. Where was that? With you? Yeah. Yes.
First, second assumption there that the brother Krishna, maybe the words don't accept that the life, you know, is about brother and Krishna, because the name of Radharani is not mentioned. Brother Krishna and Mahaprabhu.
I think that's kind of.
I don't think it's controversial. People don't accept. I think they just.
May not be
so experienced, but I don't think it's in itself such a controversial point. I mean, it's
quite obvious that that the pastimes of Krishna
are described in the Bhagavatam, and Radharani is described in the Bhagavatam, maybe a little indirectly, but still she's there. And we understand that the pastimes of the gopis are topmost, and that her part in those pastimes is topmost. I guess we, in answer to that, to those kind of questions, we need to go back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's statement that you can't understand the Bhagavatam unless you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita or other Goswami literatures. Let's say Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu, and so on. These kind of books give us a proper handle on the Bhagavatam. Of course, we already get that from our acharyas. So I guess you're speaking about readers who haven't absorbed the broader picture which gives the proper context. Because otherwise, I thought it was pretty much standard basic philosophy. Right? But for an uninformed reader, yes.
You'll cover these five tattvas in the Bhagavatam?
No, not extensively. Not in this. That would be a whole lecture in itself. I think so.
Sneak preview, I mean, maybe at the end, because you piqued our curiosity.
Well, I mean, the principle in the Bhagavatam is wherever the avatars are described. I mean, we just. I commented basically on the 10 topics, you see. So, you know, the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam are identifying the avatars, right? In Manvantara Isana Katha, we are particularly discussing that aspect. Then there's plenty of discussion in Bhagavatam about avatars. Right? In the very beginning, we get discussions on avatars. One of the six questions of the sages in Nagasaranya is about the avatars, and many avatars are described there in the Bhagavatam, right? Up to the ninth canto, we're dealing with many avatars, one after the other. So in that way, and all of them. We also have descriptions of Purusha avatars. So we have descriptions of Shakti Avesh avatars. So all that would all fit in in a charge of the Panchatattva. I don't think that it's the five tattvas. So I think it's something everyone should be able to do. No? To sort of put things in the columns, in the right column. I'm giving the principle. Or you think that's not enough?
Sorry, anything off the top? Many people would think that Panchatattva is Panchatattva, or it's anywhere in its
imagination. Yeah, well, I understand that, and therefore it's Kavi Karnapur who sort of comes with Sarup Damodar's statement that these five previously appeared with Krishna in the same way as they now do with Lord Chaitanya. And when I read it for the first time, I also never thought of it before. But okay, after reading that, it sort of changed my view a little. And well, I'm bringing that in today. Which, it's interesting that the Panchatattva as such, right, is then only for the first time described by Kavi Karnapur. That is in 1576, the Gaurakanadesh Deepika has been published, whereas the Chaitanya Bhagavat is much earlier. The Chaitanya Bhagavat in 1510, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvipa and took sannyas. And it's at that time Murari Gupta began his diary. And most of the diary was written in 1510 and 1511, and then there's a small portion which they say that might have been added later, scholars say. But basically, it's the first diary is practically immediately after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, and then subsequently, sometime between 1520 and 1530, the Chaitanya Bhagavat is written. Than the Chaitanya Charitamrita only in 1616. So, but up to 1576, and which is kind of 50 years after, 50, 60 years after the first biography, only for the first time then the Panchatattva concept comes up in public, in writing. But it's traced back to Sarup Damodar Goswami. Kavi Karnapur points at Sarup Damodar Goswami's Kadaksha, which of course is lost. And then the next time we see it is in Krishnadas Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charitamrita. But okay, you know, meanwhile, they're on our altar and they are our principal deities, practically speaking, in our worship, in our world headquarters. And so it's kind of important that we catch that statement from the Gaura Ganesh Deepika. I think so. It's not a casual statement. I think it's very important. It comes from Sarup Damodar Goswami, one of the greatest authorities in our mind. And yeah, suddenly we can start seeing a much clearer connection with Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and his associates, and how these two are connected. Yeah. So I'll move on from that, because but that is one point. The Lord heard the glories of Prahlad and Dhruva hundreds of times. Prahlada Charita or Dhruva Charita. Satavriti Karisya Sunena Savahita. The Lord attentively heard the glories of Prahlad and Dhruva hundreds of times. The characteristics of Prahlad are described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the characteristics of Dhruva are described in the 4th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Gadadhara Pandit Goswami was the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Gaurasunda was the listener. He attentively heard topics of Prahlad and Dhruva's cultivation of devotional service from the mouth of Sri Gadadha hundreds of times. It reminds us of the Bhakti Ratnakar and the description how Srinivas Acharya went to meet Gadadha to hear the Bhagavatam from him. And we can understand why, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the Bhagavatam from him hundreds of times. But unfortunately, by the time Srinivas came, Gadadha had cried so many tears on the manuscripts that it had become illegible. So he couldn't hear the Bhagavatam from Gadadha. Famous verses that establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are there are three verses now in sequence: Krishna Varnam Trishta Krishnam Sangam Bhagas Parasadam Yagya Sankirtana Pragyayanti Sumedasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He's accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, in three verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I just gave them here.
A little hard to reach, you know. Should maybe not have made it yellow, huh?
My dear Lord, you are the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places and of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service, and are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, and ever even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. So further describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how much we need to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are seeking shelter of his lotus feet across the ocean of birth and death. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after even by the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you just left for the forest in obedience to a brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching on out your own desired object, Lord Chamasundar. So I just copied that portion about the curse, because in case we're not completely familiar with it. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 70th chapter of the Adi Lila, it is described that a certain brahmana, who was well known for being harsh and cursing others, could not enter the kirtan hall where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan because the door was locked. Being very agitated and breaking his brahmana's thread, he cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the next day on the bank of the Ganges, saying, "I shall now curse you, for your behavior has greatly aggrieved me. You shall be bereft of all material happiness." However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great jubilation within himself, since his mission was Vairagya Vijanicha Bhakti Yoga, CC Madhya 6254, to give up the illusion of material sense gratification and staunchly engage 24 hours a day in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this curse as a blessing, and soon after, the Lord took sannyas. Thus it is stated in this verse that by the words of the Aryan, the Brahmana, Aryavachasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, yet agrat aranyam, and went traveling through the different forests of India on the way to Vrindavan and later South India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted especially to preserve the prestige of the Brahmana class, and therefore he decided to keep the Brahmana's curse intact. So, well, those are kind of standard places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described. I identified two other related points, because Sankirtan is obviously also important. And the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is, well, as we know, in the beginning of the 12th canto is a description of various scriptures, and particularly breaking up the Puranas according to different modes of nature, right? And we find a list like that. Then we go into dynasties of kings and Kali Yuga, and a bit in the situation of Kali Yuga, qualities of Kali Yuga, and so on. And then, in the midst of that Kali Yuga, we start to get descriptions of Sankirtan Yajna. In this verse, Kriteya Jayatu Vishnu, Tritayam Yajatu Makai, Dvapare Paricharya Yam, Kalu Tadari Kirtana. In this verse, the Yuga Dharma is established as Kalu Tadari Kirtanat, or the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Dharma for the age of Kali. Now, if we look at the 12th canto and the way it ends, I think the final verse of the Bhagavatam is kind of significant. Because the final verse of the Bhagavatam is not indirect, not vague at all. It's not like sort of hinting. It's clearly stating, it's describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So at the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, after a whole canto, having dedicated it to Kali Yuga, first in the 10th canto, we go to the topmost pastimes of Radha Krishna on the planet. In the 11th canto, we philosophically once again digest the entire Bhagavatam and the Uddhava Gita in detail, and then in the 12th canto we describe the current situation, we go to the present, to Kali Yuga, and then at the end we get this verse as the final conclusion of Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Paranasanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harim Param. Word for word means Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name, Yasya of whom, Sarva Papa, all sins, Pranasanam, which destroys, Pranama, the bowing down, Tukha, misery, Samana, which subdues, Tam, to him, Namami, I offer my obeisances, Harim, to Lord Hari, Param, the supreme. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. So really, this final verse is basically ending with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's clearly a continuation of what is previously established. Seeing in the 11th canto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance described, seeing earlier in the 12th canto and elsewhere, but especially there, established Kalo Tathari Kirtana, then discussion of Kali Yuga, of the qualities, and finally here very clearly that the congregational chanting of the holy name, it's the essence. So we're offering obeisances to that Lord. So Bhagavatam is very much leading towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not that he's overtly there in two verses sort of mentioned. No. Clearly there, at least in my perception. I don't know what, how you see it.
The previous reference, 12.5.32, must be a mistake, because there's only 13 texts.
Huh?
There's only 13 texts
in okay.
chapter 5.
The number must be a mistake. Well, then we need someone to Google or to search the number. You know, that would be good, because I can't do both talk and search. Yeah, I need a proofreader. When someone's found it.
It's 12.3.52.
Okay, I'm mixed up the numbers. This is called dyslexia, okay? How do you adjust this? Yeah. 3.52. There you go. Thank you. So the next thing I wanted to go to is trace out the Bhagavatam a little bit in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again, the Bhagavatam comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita throughout, because as I'll show later on, the Bhagavatam is the most quoted source of evidence in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, basically, Krishnadas Kaviraj's technique in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is he presents arguments in Bengali, and then he supports it with some Sanskrit quotes from various scriptures. That's generally how he establishes Siddhanta. I mean, obviously he had to do so because he was trying to make something available to the general public, which was otherwise only locked in Sanskrit. So he had to do a bit of both to be authorized. If his book would have not had any Sanskrit evidence, then the prestige of his book would have been like a lot less. The authority of his book would not have been established. But we see that his main authority is Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? That's we'll get to that. You know, let's just look at this a little bit, tracing out some things in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So some verse numbers I gave, I hope they are correct. They dissipate ignorance through the two Bhagavatams. Dui bai rideya kali andhakar, dui bhagavata sange karana shakta. But these two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, dissipate the darkness of the inner core of the heart, and thus they help one meet the two kinds of Bhagavatas, persons or things in relation with the personality of God. CC Adi 198. Ek Bhagavat Bada Bhagavat Shastra Or Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Rasapatra. Of the Bhagavatas. One of the Bhagavats is the great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is the pure devotee absorbed in the mellows of loving devotion. Dui Bhagavat Dwara Diya Bhakti Ras Taharidai Tara Prema Mayavas. Through the actions of these two Bhagavatas, the Lord instills the mellows of transcendental loving service into the heart of a living being, and thus the Lord, in the heart of his devotees, comes under the control of the devotee's love. So I find it interesting that in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavatam is so much emphasized, you know, because, I mean, if you would ask someone who hasn't really studied the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dissipate the ignorance, everyone would say, to Harinam Sankirtan, naturally, you know, that would be the natural answer to give. And then in the first chapter it says, no, to the two Bhagavatas. So that's sort of a significant statement. And then in that chapter also the Bhagavatam is invoked in the sense, in the Chatusloki. The Chatusloki Bhagavatam are originally identified as such already. We can trace it back as far as Sridhar Swami's commentary. So even in the commentary of the original Bhagavatam commentator, these four verses are recognized as the original verses of the Bhagavatam in which it was revealed to Lord Brahma, the Chatusloki. So that's significant. And so by quoting these four verses, Krishna Das was very much aware that he invokes the entire Bhagavatam. It's not just give these four verses because now these four verses were so relevant. No, they were relevant because they invoked the Bhagavatam. It's not that like the text was screaming or calling particular for these four verses in terms of the arguments and reasons. No, it's because he wants to invoke the Bhagavatam. That's clearly the purpose of using them. So that's interesting and clearly lays in the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita a foundation for the Bhagavatam being there at the very basis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It is said this ignorance then is described as five types of ignorance. I gave that also here. I won't read the whole thing, I'll just read the five types. One, accepting the body to be the self. Two, making material sense gratification one's standard of enjoyment. Three, being anxious due to material identification. Four, lamentation. And five, thinking that there's anything beyond the absolute truth. So those are the five types of ignorance that are destroyed by these two Bhagavats. Just that we get that clear. Okay, I mean, I don't know if I want to jump here already. Just see what I can do. Or if I want to put them. I wanted to jump to this Brahma Samhita for a moment and then we'll go back. Because it is. Yeah.
Wow. Disagreement.
Yeah. I kicked him. I'd love to tell him to get lost.
Would it help to close the door?
I don't know if it would help or if it would make it difficult. It was maybe telephone. It's a telephone call. it's like telephones are sacred. You can interrupt anything with a phone call. That's fine. So, yes, the Brahma Samhita. We remember how it is stated that Lord Chaitanya has left us only with the eight verses, the six astakam. Although sometimes the verse Naham Viparanatya Nara Patir Napi Vaishyana Sudra Naham Vani Natsagriya Patir and so on, right? Gopi Bhartava Kamayo, that verse is in the Pajavali of Rupa Goswami also ascribed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That would be a ninth verse of Mahaprabhu. But whether it is eight verses or nine verses, that's it. Right? That's really it. And therefore, sometimes it's argued that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an ecstatic devotee who didn't really leave a theology, and that basically the theologians are the six Goswamis, particularly Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Martin Goswami, anyway, all six. But especially Rupa and Jiva are being emphasized there as the main theologians of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And then the following generation is Krishnadas Kaviraj. And therefore, scholars sometimes say Mahaprabhu is one, the Goswamis are two, and Krishnadas Kaviraj is three. And they're all three different in their presentation, in their views. Right? And of course, we don't agree and say, no, they're all one. You know, they're all on the same line. They're all teaching exactly the same philosophy. So, say, well, but Mahaprabhu left only 8 verses. Yeah, but wait a minute. Mahaprabhu went to the Adikeshav temple in South India, and there he met these brahmanas who were discussing the 5th chapter of the Brahma Samhita, which was lost at that point. And when he got that manuscript, he was totally elated. He was dancing with the manuscript. And he begged them for a copy of the manuscript, and he was in ecstasy about it. He subsequently gave it to Ramananda Roy as a gift, and other devotees witnessed that, and they immediately asked Ramananda Roy if they could copy it, and it spread like wildfire everywhere, and all the Vaishnavas got a copy of the Brahma Samhita. Practically speaking, the whole movement of Mahaprabhu, anyone who was connected with, got somehow or another the Brahma Samhita, and it became like prominent as it is. And well, I mean, I'm not going to try and prove here in this lecture that the Brahma Samhita is representing Bhagavad philosophy. I mean, but Ishvara Parama Krishna Satsitananda Vigraha is obviously Bhagavad philosophy, establishing Krishna as the supreme controller. Prabhupada says the purpose of Bhagavatam is to establish that Param Satyam, or the absolute truth, which is mentioned in the first verse, is Parameshwar. That's what he writes in the preface to the Bhagavatam, which is like an interesting statement, something of a key to the entire Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam, that actually the Bhagavatam is trying to establish that Param Satyam is Parameshwar. And then you have from the verse till go straight to the 10th canto. So Brahma Samhita represents the Bhagavad philosophy, and a little louder.
Can you translate it? That Param Satyam is Parameshwar?
Oh, Param Satyam means the absolute truth, and Parameshwar means the supreme controller. The Prabhupada explained that when you say Param Satyam and you speak of absolute truth, then it's not sure what that absolute truth is, whether you're speaking about a person or an energy or whatever. That's not clear from Param Satyam. Therefore, as long as we are discussing about Param Satyam, the debate is still there. Are we speaking about Brahman? Are we speaking about Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But when we speak about Parameshwar, Ishvara means personality. It means personality. So in the case of Ishvara, therefore, it's clearly personality, clearly referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, that's Bhagavatam. So the Brahma Samhita is describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also describing Nanavataram. It is describing various incarnations of the Lord. It is describing the Brahmandas and the relationship the Lord has, how the Lord enters into the atom. It describes in very intricate ways the same philosophy of the Bhagavatam, which is all fun. So In that way, we find through the Brahma Samhita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's endorsement another clear connection with the Bhagavad philosophy. There's no doubt about it. If there was any, it certainly is evidence of the Brahma Samhita is evidence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophical views. Very much so. And he highly endorsed it. So, although he didn't write it, it certainly represented his theology, and therefore it gives us an insight in his theology. Then we'll go back a little bit. Let's see. Here now. Huh? Okay, so in the second chapter of the Adi Lila, the whole chapter is basically based on the verse Eti Chamsakala Pumsa Krishna Stubhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Vidriyanti Yuge Yuge. There is a grammatical explanation given, which I'm not going to enter into. A, because I don't know Sanskrit grammar anyway, and I don't know how much Sanskrit grammar all of you know, but probably just about the same as what I know. And so it was particularly a line of reasoning that was very relevant for those who were expert at Sanskrit grammar, which was the environment in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote, a time when the Brahmin community had a real stronghold in India on how to view scripture and so on, and unless you were ready to deal with them, you wouldn't get anywhere. And obviously many Brahmanas were impersonalists, so, and many Brahmanas would accept Lord Vishnu, Narayan, as the Supreme, but not Krishna. Right? So therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj was establishing Krishna as the Supreme, using the Paribhasa Sutra from the Bhagavatam, the central verse that lights up the entire text, as his principal evidence in chapter 2 to establish that it's about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then at the end, he just quite casually mentions that yes, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that same Krishna. Doesn't give so much evidence for it then and there. In terms of tattva, then we have placed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we understand. So what Krishna does is doing, he's establishing the tattva. He's establishing, okay, he is that Krishna tattva. And now we can try to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's basically.
We went through this verse a little bit also. And we were hoping that the point between, we came to that point where it's categorically assumed that Mahaprabhu is Krishna.
Yeah.
There was not so much explanation.
No.
So I was hoping that would...
Yeah. No, but that link is not there. Because I think we should not read it. We want to read it in our... as like evidence for that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you're looking for that, then you look in 222 purport. And in 222 purport, you get a list of verses that is quoted there from various scriptures. That is, it's easy to remember, 222, Adi 222. I mean, it that's where the list is given of some verses that establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. But what he is doing, if you think about it, he's placing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that category of Pancha Tattva, right? As in the Krishna Tattva position. That's where he is. And then, yeah, later on, he classifies that more. So yes, evidence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's supremacy is not exactly given in that way, yeah, in that chapter. That's why you found it missing, and it's not there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that same Krishna. Well, wait a minute. You know, everything was step for step, and now, how did you get there? Right? So there's no. He just jumps. I take it that he jumps to establish he's in that tattva. But this is not like, now I've provided a lot of evidence, Shastric evidence, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's elsewhere.
One of the devotees from from South India, he was saying that, you know, it's very hard to convince people there that Mahaprabhu is Krishna. So my answer to him was that, personally, I just want to confirm this is correct, that unless we get the message of Mahaprabhu, you won't be able to understand who is Krishna.
Without mercy, of course, one can never understand anything about Krishna. But Bhagavatam, Krishnavan, Trisha Krishnan, is something, you know. So the first thing we ask them, are you accepting Srimad Bhagavatam? Right? And if they don't accept Srimad Bhagavatam, then we'll go back and we'll say, are you accepting Chandogya Upanishad? And if they don't accept Chandogya Upanishad, well then, you know, then there's a problem. And the Chandogya Upanishad establishes the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what Jiva Swami basically does in Tattva Sandarbha. I have it in this PowerPoint somewhere, a little further. I have the quote. And because, yeah, I also felt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also reflecting in the Goswamis, right? And the Goswamis, we see, they use all Bhagavatam as evidence, and Jiva Goswami writes the Sandarbhas, which is a commentary on Bhagavatam, but the whole Tattva Sandarbha, the first book, is just dedicated to establishing that Bhagavatam is evidence. And then it's over, then everything is Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam.
That was the first answer that we gave, you know, that Bhagavatam is the proper authority. Like he said that, you know, they will not accept this.
No, they will not accept it. Hold on. But are they accepting the Chandogya Upanishad? So, okay, don't accept the Bhagavatam. Are you accepting the Chandogya Upanishad? Now that's... if they say no to that, then we say, then we don't talk, then you are not bona fide. Yeah? And if you accept the Chandogya Upanishad, there it's clearly stated, that, I mean, I'll look at it for you now, that I say it properly. Here it is, Itihasa Puranam Panchamam Vedanam, that's Chandogya Upanishad 7.12, right? Establishes that the Itihasas and the Puranas are the fifth Veda. And then if you need a more elaborate explanation of that, then take the Tattva Sandarbha, the whole book. So first we ask, are you accepting Chandogya Upanishad? They say yes. And then we say, here, read this. Boom, throw the Tattva Sandarbha at them. And now defeat this, please, all these arguments. And when they're ready with that, by then, Bhagavatam is established as Praman. Now, if Bhagavatam is Praman, then what about 11.5.32? Krishna Varna and Trisha Krishna, what are you going to do about it? So we're not just, you know, pussyfooting, they're not going to accept it. We're not accepting them if they don't accept it. Huh? we have to be aggressive. We have to not just sort of hesitate, oh my God, we're going to speak to these great scholars in South India, and how are they ever going to accept us? No way. No way. They're not such great scholars. They may have broad knowledge, but not deep knowledge, and they're missing some deep points. Jiva Goswami is the great scholar. He's given it. So we have everything for South India. Let them come. In the Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami makes an interesting argument. And his argument is that if you have one verse that is right, yeah, and that is properly based on evidence, then, you know, like, even if 1,000 verses are established, still, that doesn't carry more weight than that one verse. So, if we build a strong case on a number of verses, we should not be intimidated by people who may be able to quote many verses. Siddhanta is very strong. And it's like Chandogya Upanishad, it's like one of the principal Upanishads. And no one can argue with Chandogya Upanishad. No Mayavadi, no smarter Brahmana can, no Madhva Sampradaya, no Ramanuja Sampradaya. Of course, sometimes we've seen that some debating began on the internet between someone from the Madhva Sampradaya and about our movement. Okay? And such debates are kind of unfortunate, you see. Generally we combine our energy into debating the Mayavadis. Let's first get rid of all the Mayavadis together and use all our debating shakti and smashing them. And then, when we get rid of Nirvishesh and Sunyavad, then we can start arguing amongst the Vaishnavas. We see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mood was one of openness towards the other sampradayas. He wanted Madhvacharya's works translated into Bengali. He had scholars here in Mayapur from the Madhva Sampradaya, from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and built the 4 shrines of the Acharyas around the temple daily there. And he clearly wanted to establish the Gaudiya Sampradaya as a meta sampradaya, right? A sampradaya that kind of sits on top of all the other sampradayas, and that in time will happen. Yeah. But of course, when you like a few years ago, we went with a group of devotees to Bangladesh. Several are here also today. And we went to Bangladesh, and the one thing that really struck me about Bangladesh, even more than West Bengal, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much worship of Mahaprabhu, and so in the foreground, and Krishna so in the background. And then when I came back to West Bengal, I sort of saw West Bengal a little different. You know, I saw it a little more through Chaitanya glasses, and I was thinking, Prabhupada went to the West and he didn't present it in that way. Although he did teach Chaitanya Charitamrita even in the early days in 1966 in New York, still, he put Krishna up front, because Krishna is known to the entire world. He's the known deity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an obscure deity to the world. Okay? whether it's in South India or whether it's New York City or whatever it is, an obscure deity. And therefore, first we establish Krishna, and that's what Prabhupada's technique, and we follow with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behind. Therefore, sometimes I feel that now also maybe is a time to emphasize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a bit, since Krishna has been quite established, and especially now that there is a little bit more interest awoken in Vrindavan. You know, Prabhupada kind of insulates his movement a bit from the Raganuga Bhakti. Now that sort of is much more opened up. I think now it's important to establish the need of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Because otherwise it's we're not going to be able to penetrate into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The other day I mentioned that although we can appreciate them, we don't have the same love that the residents of Vrindavan had. Therefore we can hear about that love, but we don't have it. We don't share it. Therefore our experience is shallow, and therefore better, therefore the need of mercy of Mahaprabhu.
One of the qualities of good devotional service is Sudurlava, very rarely attained. Is that that's not applicable to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's given, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Manushyanam Sahasresu, you know, out of many thousands among men and so on, verses like that. Well, it's, for example, in the Chaitanya Chandramrita from Prabodhananda Saraswati, that's contradicted. You know, the whole Manushyanam Sahasresu is kind of out of the window. It's like everybody is now dancing in ecstasy. Everybody, you know, everybody, old men, young men, children, he describes everybody, includes women, everybody, you know, no one excluded. Everybody is now there. Right? So, and then you get like the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, 10,000 year golden age kind of description. Ekavarna Arimakta, one class of men, devotees, transcendental personality, not Varnashram, beyond. So, Paramahansa is beyond Varnashram. So, Ekavarna Hari Bhakta means Paramahansa. Because it's, if you go beyond Varnashram, it's the Paramahansa goal. So that golden age looks interesting. All Paramahansas everywhere. I'll just go back to where we were. Are we taking a break or we go straight through to, what's...
We can take a break.
Yeah, should we take that break sort of now after your question?
Just briefly, I was just wondering if there was interest in that. Bhaktisiddhanta will advise his followers to reach it and reach it a bit first.
Yeah.
Instead of Bhagavatam. He advises with the read of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya.
Yeah, I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta said he said that the Bhagavad Gita is for infants. He used the word infants. He explains why, right? Why? Because of that, because it includes the knowledge of the highest pastimes, and it includes that mercy element of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you bring all that back to the Bhagavatam, if you bring that, the Bhagavatam basically gives us Vrindavan. Right? So when you bring that all, when you bring that back to Vrindavan, then you're in the right mood. And we see that's why Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada writes in the CC Purports, Krishna and Balaram, because they're non-different from Gaur Nitai. So we go through Gaur Nitai to Vrindavan. Otherwise, or even through Prabhupada to Gaur Nitai to Vrindavan. The Prabhupada gate, the enter. Otherwise, too high. Where do you get such unalloyed pure dedication without any sinful desire in this age? Okay, I think we should take 10 minutes.